He'd be able to preach tonight, and kind of like Brother Davidson said, not necessarily under these circumstances. And I hope if I'm given the opportunity to preach again, it's not by accident, but that it's different circumstances. But anyways, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and just get started. And I know we had the fifth Sunday fellowship, and looking forward to that. And I know sometimes when food is the next thing on the menu or the schedule, that's what we like to think about. But tonight I want you to open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. And this message tonight will be just a little bit different. And I don't want to scare you. That doesn't always mean bad when we say different. But you know, most of the time I will preach more expository. I'll stay at one text. But tonight I'm going to be looking at a few different texts. It'll be more, I guess, dealing on a topical message. But I was thinking about tonight in the fifth Sunday fellowship, and just thinking about Sunday night has, again, just more of that, I would say, family feel. I mean, I'm thankful for the church family. I'm thankful for what it means in my life and what it has meant in my life. And I'm thankful that when you are with family, there's things you can share with your family. You can share things that are on your heart. And you can share things with how the Lord works in your life. And tonight, that's what I would like to do, is share how the Lord has worked in my life in some different circumstances. And hopefully, it'll be a help to you. Hopefully, if you've been in this similar situation, you'll receive something out of this. But before we get started, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we thank you for just the time to be able to meet in your house and look into your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless these next few moments as we again look at different portions of scripture. And Lord, help us to make application tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless the food and fellowship that follows, Lord. And I just pray that everything that is done tonight, Lord, would just honor and glorify you. In your name I pray, amen. Well, before we get started, I just want to maybe get you thinking about a few things. And just, I'm going to use more or less a personal illustration. And, you know, I'm not going to get too personal. I mean, these are things in my family or in my life that I have asked prayer for. I've asked prayer for from church, family, and things like that. Though here, I don't know that I've necessarily just asked the whole church to pray for this specific area. But again, it's not necessarily something I'm trying to hide either. You know, I thought it was interesting that Brother Davidson, as he preached this morning, he was preaching about the wayside, and he talked about different individuals that told God no. And tonight, it's interesting because I'm going to look at when there are times in our life where God tells us no. And I want to think about what our response should be. You know, for me, I'll get to it in just a minute, and I know sometimes when someone like this talks for a long time, you kind of like, okay, just get to the Bible. Well, this might be one of those times, I'll just be honest. But hopefully you will, again, get something, and we will look in the Word of God. But what should our response be when God tells us no? And because obviously there are times in life where we pray for something and it doesn't turn out the way we want it to. Or maybe it doesn't turn out the way we expect. You know, and I've heard different people call that unanswered prayer. But a lot of times, if they would actually step back and examine the situation, it wasn't that prayer was unanswered. It was simply that God said no. If you look at our family, obviously you'll see me, my wife, and then Jacob. And if you know much about Jacob, you'll know that he's 8 years old, and you'll know that he is our only child. You know, I even heard Brother Davidson was talking to him this morning, asking him how old he was, things like that, asked him if he had any brothers or sisters, and he said no. And the reason that Jacob doesn't have any brothers and sisters is not by our design, it's not by our choice, it's just simply that we have not been able to have more children. For the last, I don't know, he's eight, so, you know, after he was first born, there was obviously no thoughts of there being any type of complications, because we were married, and within our first year, we got pregnant with Jacob. And honestly, I thought, boy, at this rate, it actually kind of made me nervous, because I thought, boy, we're going to have a whole slew of kids at this rate. But and not to be vulgar or anything like that, but we never were necessarily trying to prevent it at this stage in life, and we still haven't tried to prevent having children. But the fact is 8 years later, after Jacob's born, we don't have more children. And again, that's not by our decision. That's not by our choice. I mean, we would love to have more children. You know, we spent the time going to doctors and having things looked at and all that and trying different medicines and things, and still no children. You know, again, for the last, I would say, at least 6 years probably, I've spent just about every day probably asking the Lord for more children. But right now, for whatever reason, I can't explain it to you, the answer's been no. And I thought, well, what should my response be? Because here's what began to happen in my life. I began to get to the point where I felt like I was starting to get a little bit angry, a little resentful because of that. And here's why. Because you start looking out at the world and you start seeing what happens to the lives of children. You start hearing stories on the news about abuse. You start hearing crazy stories about a guy pulling over the side of the road and throwing his kid into the creek bed while they were still in their car seat. I start thinking about abortion, and I think about all these people, and I thought, Lord, why would you allow this individual or these individuals to have more children but not us? You know what happened? I began to get to a point where really I kind of had a decision to make. Allow the Lord to work in my life or get angry and get bitter and resentful towards God. And I think a lot of people, because things have not worked out the way maybe they thought it should or the way that they asked, they become angry or resentful towards the Lord. But I want to look at a few points tonight that God worked in my life and that He helped me deal with, I guess, not having more children. Look at Psalms 34 in verse number 8. And we're going to look at several verses in the book of Psalms. But Psalms 34, 8 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Turn over to Psalms 100 now. Psalms 100. And I may not wait too long because I don't want to waste all my time that I have, but Psalms 100 says this, and I'll just read the whole verse, or the whole chapter, I'm sorry, it's just five verses. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Why? "For the Lord is good, for His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Turn over to Psalms 107. 107, verse number 1 says this, "O give thanks unto the Lord." And it tells us why. "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalms 118. 118, verse number 1. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." The end of Psalms 118, verse 29. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Turn over to Psalms 135. Psalms 135. Verse number 3 says this, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant." Psalms 145, Psalms 145, verse number 9. Actually, let's start in verse number 8. But it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. From all these verses that we've read in Psalms, and again, we haven't really even scratched the surface. There's so many more verses that speak of the goodness of the Lord. I think just from the verses we've read, could we not say we've established that the Lord is good? The Lord is good. And I want you to think about that. Is that conditional? Was there anywhere in any of those verses that said, the Lord is good if? The Lord is good if this happens. No, there was nothing in there that was not met with a condition. It was just a statement saying that the Lord is good. And I think from these verses, again, just scratching the surface about the goodness of the Lord, we understand that He is good. That's not conditional. It's just a fact. It's who He is. It's His nature. And here's what I learned. My circumstances do not change who God is. The circumstances that I go through, the things that I endure in this life, the fact that maybe I can't have more children does not change the fact that God is good. My circumstances will never change who God is. Will not change the very nature of who God is. And I think about that last verse I read in Psalms 145, verse number 9. It says, the Lord is good to who? To all. Not just a select few. To all. The second thing that I had to learn to be, and it almost seems interesting to say that, but to be thankful. You know, often when we're told no, our first response generally is not, thank you. You know, I think about Jacob. You know, when he asks me for something that he wants to do and I tell him no, he usually does not express thankfulness. You know, I think about my own life. When there's something that I want, I desire, and I'm told no, usually thankfulness is not the first thing that comes to mind. But you know, if you looked at a lot of those verses that we just read in Psalms chapter, or all these different verses we read in Psalms, many of those verses also gave the idea of being thankful. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. Now, turn back to Psalms 100 just real quick. Psalms 100. Think about the goodness of the Lord. Again, learn to be thankful. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that madeth, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. You know, one of the things I had to learn was to be thankful. You know, when we look at Psalms 100, I just thought, you know what? There is something, I believe God desires that when I come into His presence, that I come into His presence with a thankfulness, with a thanksgiving. You know, and if I'm coming into His house, or if I'm coming to a point where I'm trying to read the Word of God, or I'm trying to pray, but all I can think about is what is not happening, thankfulness is not usually in my heart then. Think about 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. In everything. And then it tells us why. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I learned an important lesson on this, I believe, about giving thanks in everything. Because you know what? I don't say, to be honest, hey, I'm thankful that I can't have more children. But what I have been able to see is that there are things in that I have to be thankful for. There was a man, I think about back in Okmulgee, and he had developed this tumor. And it was wrapped around his leg, it was wrapped around some arteries, and it was just too dangerous to operate on it. He was an older gentleman, and they thought, you know, if we try to remove this, he probably will not survive this surgery. But you know what? He was doing chemo, and he was doing different treatments, and he would have to go up to Tulsa, and there was an opportunity that I got to drive him to one of his treatments. You know, as we were driving up there, The thing that I found interesting was that he was expressing thankfulness. He was not on the way up there saying, oh, poor me, that this happened. You know, he was finding reasons for him getting that tumor to be thankful for. One of the things he talked about was the different nurses and doctors that he got to give the gospel to, that he normally would not have come in contact with. You know, the other thing that he was giving thanks for was the fact that through this, and his health getting to the point where it was, that it got to help restore a broken relationship with his son. His son all of a sudden got very concerned about his dad, because his dad was not going to be living much longer. You know, and that man, instead of looking at, I'm not saying he was grateful to be dying, if you will, but he was finding something in that circumstance to give thanks for. Thankful for the people he got to witness to. Thankful for a restored relationship with his son, and that his son also got back in church. So in my situation, I began to look and say, okay, what is it that I can give thanks for? Well, the first thing is I can give thanks, obviously, that I do have a son. You know, there are people in my situation that they still don't have even the one. Now, I do have something to be thankful for. I have at least one. But not only that, there are things like adoption. You know, me and my wife have talked about it. We have prayed about it. If the Lord leads, I think we're both all for it. I'm thankful that that is an option. But you know what? Maybe that's not an option. You know, think about this. There are plenty of children that come through those doors that need a father figure. You know, I have opportunity to invest in their lives. You know, when I think about it, I have to remind myself, you know, it's not just Brother Mike and Brother Randy or their Sunday school teacher's job to invest in them. I have an opportunity. I have a responsibility to invest in them. And I can say, you know what, I don't have more children, but look at the line of children that just walked back through here. That need a father figure in their life. I can take time to invest in their lives. So I don't necessarily say, boy, I'm thankful I can't have more children, but I do look back and go, look at the circumstance I can give thanks in. I can say, Lord, thank you for providing me one child. Lord, thank you for providing me the opportunity to invest in other children's lives, because he does provide that opportunity. So find something to be thankful for. You know, here's what I also learned in that thankfulness, is that if we are focused more on what we don't have versus on what we do have, it sure is hard to be thankful. I thought about King Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. Maybe you remember that story. I'll read the first few verses of 1 Kings chapter 21. Says this, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Acted like a child. Why? Because he didn't get what he wanted. You know, if Ahab would have stopped and considered all that he had as king, maybe it wouldn't have been as big of a deal to him. You know, he already had vineyards, did he not? He offered Naboth, he said, hey, I'll give you a better vineyard than the one you own if you'll give me that one. Or I'll give you the money for it. Ahab didn't lack anything. It's just that he was told no. If he would have stopped, I think, maybe I understand Jezebel played a hand in this, and she was a wicked woman, there's no doubt about that, but he failed to stop and look at what he had. All he could think about is what he didn't have. You know what the Lord began to speak to me about? Because I began to almost, I would say, become consumed with the idea of children and not having more children and thinking about it all the time. And the Lord said, stop focusing on the children you don't have and focus on the one you do have. Now, it would be hard for me to be thankful if all I'm thinking about is what I don't have and fail to see what God has blessed me with. So the first thing, my circumstances don't change who God is. The second thing, learn to be thankful. The third thing is be willing to surrender my will to God's will. Be willing to surrender my will to God's will. You know, I thought about Jesus as he was praying in the garden. I want to read in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42. It says, and he, being Jesus, was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Think about Jesus and what he's getting ready to face. You know, I was thinking about, obviously, the agony that he is about to go through, the pain and the suffering that he's about to go through. Nothing I've ever experienced even compares to that pain and that agony that he was about to go through. But not only that, think about this. Here is the sinless Son of God who's about to take on the sin of the world to the point where his heavenly Father would have to look away. I don't know that I can really fathom that or even fully understand it. But Jesus is saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But then here's a very important phrase I think for me to learn is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what, through all this, I had to come to the point where I said, okay, Lord, I want to surrender my will to your will. Lord, I know that, yes, I desire to have more children, but if that is not God's perfect will in my life, then I don't want it to happen. I have to be willing to surrender my will for his will. You know, in the Bible, there was a time, and I'm sure, I'm just thinking of one in particular time, where there was a people that God allowed them to have their will over his will. You know, we talk about the perfect will of God. We talk about the permissive will of God. He permitted them to do this. But boy, there was a list of consequences. There's a list of consequences. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the children of Israel asked for a king. You know what? When they asked for that king, that was not God's will for their life. In fact, in that, you know what God said was that they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. But he said, or he allowed them to go ahead and have a king. But you know what? He gave them a long list of consequences that they were going to have to endure. He talked about taking their fields and using it for himself, taking their daughters to be his confectionaries, taking his sons to serve in different ways. But you know, the biggest thing that I think about that the Lord said was this in verse number 18. He says, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. That's a pretty big consequence for the children of Israel. You know, there was going to be a lot of things that were going to be taken from them. The Lord said, you know, one day you're going to cry out because of your king. He said, the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now, though it wasn't God's will for them to have a king, he still allowed them to have it. He permitted it. But it came with some consequences. In my life, I think it's just kind of the point where, yes, I desire more children, but it has changed the way I've prayed for them. It's changed in that I have said, Lord, if it is your will and then please bless us with another child. Because I want to be willing to surrender my will to God's will. Luke chapter 11, and this will be the last point that I have here that the Lord has worked on my heart. But again, the first thing, my circumstances do not change who God is. He is good. Second thing, learn to be thankful. Third thing, be willing to surrender my will to God's will. And the last thing that I've been in this is remain hopeful. Remain hopeful. Because I know that right now, obviously, the answer would seem to be no. But that doesn't mean it will always be no. It doesn't mean that in the future, God may not bless us with another child. And again, it be His will. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching His disciples about prayer. But let's look at verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." One of the things, obviously, we think about verse number 3, give us day by day our daily bread. One of the things to pray about is for our needs, right? There's a difference, obviously, between our needs and our wants. I can't necessarily stand up here and tell you why I need another child. But certainly it is a want of mine. Verse number 5. "And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You know, in the story, the thing that's interesting to me, when he first, the friend comes and he knocks on the door, the first response is, no, don't, you know, trouble me not, leave me alone, we're already in bed, and I'm not doing it. But he eventually gives him the bread, does he not? And Jesus gives us the reason why. In verse number 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is friend. Hey, he's not doing this because they're friends, necessarily. It says, yet because of his importunity, his continual knocking and asking and seeking is the reason that he gives him what he needs. Again, I am going to continue and remain hopeful and ask the Lord that He will provide us a child if it's His will. And the reason I remain hopeful is because, again, it may be that He will change His mind. It may be that because of my importunity, my continual seeking, my continual asking, that the Lord will bless us with another child. But I have to go back to verse number, or the first thing, and understand that even if he doesn't, he's still good. He still loves me. He still has my best interest at heart. And ultimately, again, I have to say, okay, Lord, I want to surrender my will to your will. And if it's not your will, then I don't want it to happen. Tonight, maybe there's been a circumstance in your life where it seems like the answer has been no, and there's a struggle within, and the struggle might be with anger or bitterness even towards the Lord. These are some things that I think helped me avoid going down that path, because I was close, I think. I'll just mention them one more time, and then we'll be done, but here's how I want to respond when the answer to my prayer is no. First, realize that my circumstances do not change who God is, and the fact is He is good, and that's not conditional. That's who He is. Second thing is, in that circumstance, learn to be thankful. Find something in there I can look at and say, okay, I can give thanks to the Lord for this. Third, be willing to surrender my will to God's will. You know, because I don't want God to just permit me to have another child and it not be His will. Because again, I believe there will be circumstances in that, consequences. But learn that, again, surrender my will to His perfect will. I want His perfect will in my life. And the last thing, remain hopeful. Because, you know, I know right now, I believe, obviously, the answer has been no right now. But again, I can't help but think, that doesn't mean it'll always be a no. It simply might just be a no for now. But again, if it never changes, the answer doesn't change, I still remind myself, the Lord's good. My circumstances will never change who He is. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, and Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. And Lord, I know there are times in life where it seems like the answer to what we're asking, Lord, is no, and Lord, that can be difficult to deal with, but I pray that You would help us to respond appropriately to You and to Your word, Lord, when things don't go the way we would desire. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that You would just keep us mindful of Your goodness, and Lord, help us again to seek Your will above our own. Lord, I just thank You again for all You do. In Your name I pray, amen. I guess we'll go ahead and stand, and if you'd like to